You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Today we talk to Dr. Xavier Jayakumar, the Selangor Exco, as well as being the chairman of its Health, Plantation Workers, Poverty and Caring Government Committees. We will discuss the protection of minorities in the Selangor region. Dr. Xavier, thank you and welcome to the show. Now, in an article, and you've been quoted as such, you said that estate workers in Malaysia earn about 350 ringgit per month. This seems absurd given where palm oil prices are.
It is actually absurd. You see, what happened is a few years ago, the federal government has imposed a minimum wage earning for plantation workers as being 350 ringgit per month. This is not inclusive of the overtime benefits and allowances that is included later. But what we see is that from our records, plantation workers are enslaved in the estates because of this minimum wage. The wage is a factor, but the main factor is that it doesn't seem right to us that plantation workers should be paid this minimum amount. Though it is an agreement between MAPA and NUPW and the federal government that came about with this wage bracket. But I'm sure on the ground, after having talked to plantation workers and people of this sort, they really don't agree with the amount of wages that they get. $350 is the basic pay. But if you go down to the ground and you look at the wage slips that they show us when we revisit them, you'll be really surprised to see that some of them take back only 200 ringgit per month, cash in hand, after having all the deductions made in the wage.
Are we talking about Malaysians or foreign workers?
We are talking about Malaysians.
Okay, so how do they support themselves, let alone their families, on 200 ringgit a month?
It's impossible. And that is why they are the abject poverty group of people in this country today. The only reason why this small group of people now still stay in the estates is that they have a roof over their head. Is the housing issue. Because a lot of them who work in the estates are provided with a house. So they make use of that house because that is the only place of domicile that they have. So they can't leave that area and go out. Because if they leave the estate and go out, then they become squatters outside because they can't afford to buy this low-cost housing scheme that is now in place for many, many, many years for 40,000 or 45,000 ringgit per low-cost house. So they're enslaved in there. And they remain there. But over the years, when plantations changed from rubber to oil palm, that itself cut the number of workers into half. Because oil palm doesn't need a labor force the same number as a rubber estate plantation. So when that happened, because there was a termination of workers, and they were given the basic termination benefits, and they were told to leave the estates. And these people are already in towns now. And they are working in factories and places of that sort. Those who are staying back in the estates now are only about 40% of the population or workforce in the estates. Other 60% is foreigners now.
Okay, so Malaysia is trying to, of course, you know, get into a high-income nation status. We have imposed minimum wage, and I think, in principle, minimum wage means that you cannot. There's a flaw. There's a flaw in terms of how low wages can go, and the only way from there is up. Yeah, how does all this work in connection with what you're saying about estate workers and of all industries, the palm oil industry, which is enriching the government?
When we took over Selangor State, we looked at the wage scales across Selangor, and we came to a conclusion that a minimum wage policy, if it's in place in Selangor, those who are working in Selangor, the minimum wage should be, for a person who starts work, should be 1,500 ringgit. Why we came to this figure is that we realized that those who are working in Selangor, they would need a minimum of 10 ringgit in their pocket per day for their personal expenses if they are working in the Klang Valley and around Selangor. Because the cost of living and things like that with inflation in Selangor is definitely higher than all other states put together. So if you have a family of five, then you are talking about $50 a day. And for 1 month, you need about 1,500 ringgit That's how we came to this conclusion that our minimum wage should be about 1,005. Now, if you compare with what we are saying that workers should have, in comparison to what is happening in the estate scheme of things, they are far behind basic wages scheme that we are talking about. And so these people are in abject poverty. They are really, really the poor minority of the state.
What is the demographic profile of the estate worker, and how many people are we talking about?
We are talking about, altogether, we are talking about 10,000 plus minus workers in the estate. Out of 10,000 plus
this
minus,
is just in Selangor,
in
yeah?
In Selangor, yes.
What about nationwide? What kind of numbers are we talking
nationwide
about?
Nationwide, it goes in hundreds of thousands of workers in the plantations. But when in plantations, Felda is also a plantation. So let's not get ourselves confused saying that Felda, the scheme, is different compared to the plantation workers. So we look at even Felda schemes, you know, where we consider them as also plantation workers, estate workers. But then only the scheme is because Felda scheme holders, they own the land, sort of, but not estate workers in plantations. So the demography, coming back to demography, is about 10,000 plus minus in Selangor, and it's about 60% of this are foreigners. Are foreigners now?
So
in the
six,
plantation.
So about six of these 10,000 are foreigners.
Foreigners.
Okay, then the remaining 4,000, are they Indians, Malays, Chinese?
Majority is Indians.
Okay.
Majority is Indians. Malays have left plantations long time ago, but there might be some small holdings and things like that. They work on their own in different areas. But in Selangor as such, Malays have actually left the plantation sector to go off and find jobs outside. Predominantly what is left behind are the poorer section of the Indians who can't afford housing outside, and they are left behind in the estates.
So what solutions are there to break this poverty cycle?
You see, the whole culture of the plantation workers are such that history itself dictates they were brought in from India one way or other to work in the plantations. They were provided for in terms of housing. Electricity and water is free at that time when they were there. They built the schools there for their children to go to school, and then they had entertainment section in terms of having a toy shop and sundry shop, and then they had football fields for the children and to play. So it was a community in place where it was taken care of, and at that time those wages that were provided for was actually adequate, quite adequate for them to stay there. But times have changed now, you know. Estates have been taken over in terms of development, commercialization. They've become, estate has become towns and suburbs in towns and cities. So there's whole migration of estate workers out of this system from a community that stayed within and supported one another. We brought them out, and they are now all individual communities by themselves finding a living outside. And that's how the squatter problem arose. But then we got rid of the squatter problem by some force in 2006 and 2007. The CIFAR Stingan policy by then Barisan National Government forced people to go into low-cost housing schemes. And that itself is another problem that you can talk about, because that is going to give rise to socioeconomic problems, urban poverty, and crime in those areas. So what I'm saying is, those who are left behind in the estates today are the ones who are the hardcore poor of the country or the state. In this case, majority of them are Indians. But I'm not saying that Indians are the only hardcore poor in the state, because there's a large Malay population in a different sector in different ways. Also, poverty is also there among them. But we're talking about wages and estate workers. This is the big major problem. Now, to increase it, what we can do is two things. People want to still stay in the estate because they have the security of the community within them. Houses that are being built now for estate workers, I must congratulate Sam Darby in this move, because they have redesigned estate workers' houses, and it's quite comfortable. But the wages are still lagging far behind in order for them to survive. Those days, the electricity and water is free. But today, you have to pay for electricity and water.
We are talking to Dr. Xavier Jayakumar, the Selangor Exco, who is the chairman of the Health Plantation Workers as well as the Poverty Committees. Up next, we'll discuss the solutions available to this disenfranchised group.
Being first matters. BFM 89.9.
We are talking today to Dr. Xavier Jayakumar, who is the Selangor Exco as well as the chairman of its Health Plantation Workers, Poverty and Caring Government Committees. Dr. Xavier, this group of abject and hardcore poor, what is the way forward for them?
The only way forward for them is to increase their monthly earning capabilities.
So the plantation owners would be the ones to decide?
Yeah, but I don't see why plantation owners can't pay higher wages when the price of palm kernel and palm oil is skyrocketing all over the place. And they make huge profits in terms of, if you look at their cash balance and the accounts that are published.
Who are some of the companies involved?
Oh, the biggest company in Malaysia, as you know, is Sam Dabi. Guthrie and IOI, KL Kepong. These are the big companies that have huge land banks in terms of estates. Around Malaysia, not only in Selangor, but around Malaysia. And I think it has to be seen, and there has to be some moral guidance from the top, in order to make these changes in the bottom. But it is not only estate workers that we are talking about. Estate workers is one segment of society, of the workforce in Selangor, which is within the poverty group. But, you have to refocus about the urban residents or the urban dwellers in Selangor itself. There's a huge number of urban dwellers in Selangor because I'm in charge of poverty and a caring government as well. And this is part of my portfolio, which we are looking into. The issue of urban poverty is creeping in at an alarming rate in Klang Valley.
Describe some of the groups involved.
Well, urban poverty will be groups who are marginalized before, who were staying in squatters, houses that were illegal on state land. They were removed, demolished. They were forced to go and live and buy one of these pigeonholes in these high-rise, low-cost apartments that has been designed and still being built all over the place because of a policy that was set many, many years ago. Now, the problem with this is that people were given houses on a surety from the federal government, which gave the state a $100 million grant paid to MBank. And so with that grant, the state went on the ground and demolished all squatters and then forced them to go and buy these low-cost apartments at $42,000 or so. What has happened now is things are taking a turn for the worse in the sense that a large majority of them are not able to pay their monthly bank loans as far as these houses are concerned. They're Malaysians. They're all Malaysians. And it cuts across the racial sector in Selangor. You cannot say that it's only Indians are affected or Malays are affected. I think it's majority is Malays and Indians who are affected by this problem in Selangor today. And there are thousands of low-cost houses which are going for auction because foreclosure by the bank because of non-payment of bank loans by these people. They can't afford. If you tell them to pay monthly 300 ringgit per month, their wages outside, those who are working in the menial jobs, all put together is about 600 or 500 ringgit per month. That's what they're getting now. And you tell them to pay a $350 bank loan. Electricity and water has to be covered by them. They have to take care of the children. You have transport problem for children to go to schools and things like that. So you are creating a society within Klang Valley, whereby they are being pressurized in terms of making ends meet at the end of the month. So
What solutions are?
No, you got to put in enforce basic wage in across the board, basically, not only for plantations. You got to have basic wages implemented in the country across the board. MTUC is asking for 1,200 ringgit as a basic wage. We in Selangor, the Selangor state government says that no, 1,200 is not enough. We want 1,005 as your basic wage. There's another group that is saying no, 900 ringgit is enough as a basic wage. Basic wage, not talking about overtime and allowances and things like that. But this is not being implemented. Till now, it is only being discussed and it's being thrown around in the open. But nobody wants to take the bull by the horns and say, let's implement the basic wage policy.
Why?
Well, there are interested parties who don't want to do this. You see, our system of business and trade in this country, our country is one of the largest trading companies in the world. We actually manufacture for other professional companies rather than we don't really design and produce goods on our own. We do trade manufacturing, we do boutique manufacturing for other companies. So in this respect, the government has to keep their wages suppressed in order to attract foreign direct investment to come into the country.
To maintain the low-cost structure.
Low-cost structure.
Okay.
But we are also, at the same time, we are talking about going up the ladder in terms of what we can do better and not compete with countries in low wages now, with Indonesia and Vietnam and Cambodia and China and things like that. They have overtaken us now because of their wages is much less, even lower than what we are paying. But that doesn't mean that we have to keep the same structure. We have to make improvements in order to have better living status, you see. But that is not happening. That is not happening. That's lagging behind.
So this social cost that you're discussing, what can you do in your position in the government about it?
Well, we decided that we want to bring in a system whereby some of the agencies in Selangor can start increasing their pay scales and their remunerations to the people who come in to work with us. We're starting. But it's not easy because you must understand the state has a very limited budget as to these things, and we work within the budget. Our budget in Selangor is only 1.4 billion, though it is one of the biggest budgets in comparison to other states. But that is not enough. That is not enough. This is the responsibility of the federal government, which has to come in and sit down with all the different business agencies and companies and corporations and tell them, listen, we have to increase the standards of living. To increase standards of living, you got to have a minimum wage policy that has to be put in place.
Does it concern you that all these developers now are building luxury condos and luxury houses and millions of ringgit each? And housing for the masses or for the poor, as you say, even they can't afford it. Does it worry you?
It worries me quite a bit, actually, and I'm quite surprised that house prices in the past 10 years has actually tripled, and the cost of a medium cost downstairs terrace house is now going for anywhere between 300,000 and 450,000 ringgit, and the number of people who can afford to buy these houses are actually a very small number, because you must be earning more than 3,000 ringgit per month family income in order to afford a house of that value. And even if you buy a house of that value for a 20-year repayment mortgage, you will be paying more than half of your salary for your housing loan, which leaves you very little amount of money in order to spend for the rest of the family till in a month's time. So these are things that we have to calculate and relook into what is happening in the industry.
How far advanced are your plans to try and lift the situation of these hardcore poor people?
Well, we have a program called Merayakan Ekonomi Negeri Selangor, whereby we are helping out the hardcore poor in certain programs that we have. It's sort of handout programs that is there in place, but we also have started giving them business opportunities in the form of microcredit, which we want to give to young entrepreneurs who want to do micro businesses around the place. So we are handing out some cash payment to them. It's not enough, but at least it's a start. We are spending about 70 million ringgit on these people. And there's a huge demand for these small loans from people who want to do very, very minor businesses along the roads or in shop lots and things like that. So we are encouraging this to happen. Now, what we are saying is those who are in abject poverty should be lifted out of poverty, but at the same time, not through handouts completely, but at the same time, encouraging them, educating them, giving them an opportunity to do small businesses so that they can come out of poverty.
Lots of speculation about the upcoming general elections, Dr. Xavier. Do you expect to be returned next season?
I'm quite confident that the people of Selangor are looking at us in a very broad spectrum, and for this well-being of Malaysia as a whole, I think Pakatan Rakyat should hold on to Selangor. And I think we will get the majority in Selangor for another five-year term if election is called. And the people must understand that this only in this way will you have the check and balances in place so that you can monitor what governments are doing, both state as well as federal. We cannot have a position whereby you have absolute rule by one group of people and then you expect changes to take place. Even within this short period of 3 years, you have noticed how one group is challenging the other, or we are trying to one up on the other in terms of providing services for the people. You know, I have so many examples in Selangor that we started, and now the federal government is competing with us in order to say that, no, we can do better than you, and these are the programs that we want to introduce. And also people are getting the benefits in the sense that politicians and government officials are going down to the ground, getting closer to people on the ground, and then getting information that is grassroots information, and trying to convert that into ways and means whereby they can provide for those who need support services from the government agencies.
Well, as you say, Dr. Xavier, lifting the situation of the hardcore poor is very much a federal, it should be very much a federal initiative in terms of imposing a minimum wage. We do wish you the best of luck in your work with the hardcore poor and as well as with the minorities. Thank you for your time. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.
We were talking to Dr. Xavier Jayakumar, the Selangor Exco, as well as the chairman of its Health, Plantation Workers, Poverty and Caring Government Committees. We're discussing the marginalization and disenfranchisement of minorities in Selangor. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.